You're listening to Sandbox Radio.
It is the sentence of this court that you be taken from here to a place of execution and there hanged by the neck until you are dead. May God have mercy upon your soul.
For the wild narrative I am about to relate, I neither expect nor solicit belief. Hereafter, perhaps, some intellect may be found which will reduce my phantasm to the commonplace. Some intellect more calm, more logical, and far less excitable than my own. But today, I would unburden my soul, for tomorrow, I die. From my infancy, I was noted for the docility and humanity of my disposition. I was especially fond of animals and was indulged by my parents with a great variety of pets. There is something in the unselfish and self-sacrificing love of an animal which goes directly to the heart of him who has had frequent occasion to test the paltry friendship and gossamer fidelity of mere man. When I married, I was happy to find my wife a disposition not uncongenial with my own, and she lost no opportunity of procuring pets of the most agreeable kind.
Birds, goldfish, a fine dog.
And most especially,
a cat.
A cat. This latter was a remarkably large and beautiful animal, entirely black and sagacious to an astonishing degree.
He's so intelligent, don't you find? I wonder, they say all black cats are witches in disguise. Not that I believe it myself.
My wife at heart was not a little tinctured with superstition.
Pluto!
That was the cat's name. My favorite pet and playmate. I alone fed him. He attended me wherever I went about the house. It was even with difficulty that I could prevent him from following me through the streets. Oh. No, 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 Pluto. Stay inside. That's right. Our friendship lasted in this manner for several years, during which my general temperament and character experienced a radical alteration for the worse. Through the instrumentality, I blush to confess it, of the fiend Intemperance.
Edgar, dearest, what's the matter?
Oh, well, leave me alone.
But darling, I just... Please, don't go out tonight. So much drink isn't good for you.
Oh, you bore me.
Dear, please.
Harpy!
I suffered myself to offer my innocent wife such horrible treatment as my disease grew upon me. For what disease is like alcohol? Even Pluto began to experience the effects of my ill temper. One night, returning home much intoxicated from one of my haunts about town, I fancied that the cat avoided my presence. I seized him. He inflicted a wound upon my hand with his teeth. The fury of a demon instantly possessed me. I knew myself no longer. A more than fiendish malevolence, gin-nurtured, thrilled every fiber of my frame. I took from the desk drawer a penknife, grasped the poor beast by the throat, and deliberately cut one of its eyes from its socket. I experienced a sentiment half of horror, half of remorse, but it was at best a feeble and equivocal feeling. My soul remained untouched. I again plunged into excess, soon drowning in wine all memory of the deed. One morning, in cool blood, I slipped a noose about the creature's neck and hung it from the limb of a tree. Hung it with tears streaming from my eyes and with the bitterest remorse in my heart. Hung it because I knew that it had loved me and because I felt it had given me no reason of offense. Hung it because I knew that in so doing I would jeopardize my immortal soul as to place it, if such a thing were possible, even beyond the reach of the infinite mercy of God. Then, that very night...
Edgar! Oh. Edgar, dearest, wake up!
What is it? What's wrong?
The smoke!
Oh, God!
The bed curtains!
Oh, hurry! Run! Try not to breathe! Just run!
Well, we must save the animals! Where is Pluto?
Oh, hurry, my dear! Please! Go! The stairs are burning!
Oh my goodness!
The whole house was blazing.
It was with great difficulty that we made our escape. The destruction was complete. My entire worldly wealth was swallowed up. And I resigned myself thenceforward to despair.
Our house in ruins. What will we do?
The walls had fallen in, excepting one, which stood about the middle of the house. About this wall... a dense crowd were collected, and many persons seemed to be examining a particular portion of it with very minute and eager attention.
Oh, look at that!
How strange!
What is it?
The marks on the plaster!
Yes, that black figure!
As if graven in relief upon the white surface, with an accuracy truly marvelous, the figure of a gigantic cat.
Heavens! There's a rope about the animal's neck!
Oh, I've never seen
for months, I could not rid myself of the phantom, of the cat. I went so far as to regret the loss of the animal, looking about me among the vile haunts which I now habitually frequented, for another pet of the same species and of somewhat similar appearance with which to supply its place. One night, as I sat half stupefied in a den of more than infamy, my attention was suddenly drawn to some black object reposing atop one of the immense hogsheads of gin. Well, hello. Where did you come from? It was black. Very large, fully as large as Pluto, and closely resembling him in every respect. Upon my touching him, he immediately arose, purred loudly, and rubbed against my hand. As the denizens of the bar made no claim to it, and it seemed disposed to accompany me, I permitted it to do so, occasionally stooping and patting it as I proceeded home.
How wonderful of you. Thank you. Doesn't he remind you of dear old Pluto?
For indeed, like Pluto, it also had been deprived of one of its eyes. This circumstance endeared it to my wife.
Poor thing. How sad.
But its affliction and its evident fondness for myself rather disgusted and annoyed me. Soon I came to look upon it with unutterable loathing and to flee silently from its odious presence. But with my aversion, the creature's partiality for myself seemed to increase. It followed my footsteps, crouched beneath my chair, or covered me with its loathsome caresses. If I arose to walk, it would get between my feet and thus near me, throw me down, or fastening its long and sharp claws in my clothes, clamber up in this manner to my breast. I longed to destroy it.
Edgar, what is the matter?
Oh, nothing, dear. Nothing. The feeble remnant of the good within me succumbed. Evil thoughts became my sole intimates. Hatred of all things and all mankind, I now blindly abandon myself to sudden, frequent, and ungovernable outbursts of fury.
Edgar?
What do you want?
Forgive me, I can see that you're unwell.
Oh, for God's sake, what is it?
Might you help me bring the coal up from the cellar?
Oh, very well. Then will you leave me be?
Of course.
As we descended into the cellar of the old building which our poverty compelled us to inhabit, the cat followed, nearly throwing me headlong. Damn it! This will fix you!
Edgar, for God's sake, put down the axe!
I'm going to rid myself of this monster once and for all.
Spare the poor beast. It means you no harm.
Loose my arm, woman!
Please, don't!
Let me go, damn you!
She fell dead upon the spot without a groan, the axe buried in her brain. I set myself forthwith and with entire deliberation to the task of concealing the body. I knew that I could not remove it from the house, either by day or by night, without the risk of being observed by the neighbors. Many projects entered my mind, cutting the corpse into minute fragments and destroying them by fire, packing it in a box as if merchandise, with the usual arrangements, and so getting a porter to take it from the house. Finally, I hit upon it. Wall it up in the cellar, as the monks of the Middle Ages are recorded to have done to their victims. With a crowbar, I dislodged the bricks and deposited the body against the inner wall, carefully plastering over the new brickwork so it could not be distinguished from the old. Now, to rid myself of the beast which has caused so much wretchedness,
here, kitty. Here, kitty. Pluto!
But he was gone. As the days passed, I breathed as a free man. The monster had fled. My happiness was supreme. The guilt of my dark deed disturbed me but little. Some few inquiries were made, but nothing was discovered. I looked upon my future felicity as secured.
Good day, sir. Sorry to disturb.
Oh, not at all, Sergeant. What may I do for you?
I believe I've already answered all of your questions.
Again, I apologize, sir, but we've a warrant to search the house one last time. Shouldn't take a moment.
Of course.
Would you mind showing us about, sir?
Shall we begin in the cellar? I was secure in the inscrutability of my place of concealment. I quivered not a muscle. My heart beat calmly as that of one who slumbers in innocence.
Nothing odd here, Sergeant.
Indeed. Well, sir, we are satisfied there is nothing of concern. Again, forgive the intrusion.
Of course.
But the glee at my heart was too strong to be restrained. I burned through the mere frenzy of bravado to say of but one word by way of triumph. Gentlemen, I am delighted to have allayed your suspicions. This is a very well-constructed house.
Yes, it seems so.
I may say an excellently well-constructed house.
You are fortunate in such a house, sir. Mm. Well, we will see ourselves out.
Are you going, gentlemen? These walls are solidly put together. See here.
What the devil?
Heaven. Heaven protect me. Heaven protect me. Heaven give me the right page.
May God shield and deliver me from the fangs of the archfiend.
Mercy on us. What is that?
Whatever it is, it's behind that wall. Pull it down.
Yes, sir.
Look, this plaster is fresh. See how easily it comes apart.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Sir, are you ill? God defend us.
The corpse, already greatly decayed and clotted with gore, stood erect before us. Upon its head, with red extended mouth and solitary eye of fire, sat the hideous beast whose craft had seduced me into murder and whose informing voice had consigned me to the hangman. I had walled up the monster within the tomb.